All right, welcome everyone to today's very special episode of the LeedsCon podcast. I'm Ian McRae, and I lead editorial efforts here at LeedsCon. This is the very first episode that we're recording after our 2023 big show out in Las Vegas. So thank you for everyone and all of our sponsors for coming out to what was the largest LeedsCon program on record. So thank you everyone for making that possible. As we mentioned out there, please do keep an eye out for more details for our LeedsCon Connect program. That's our next live event. It's going to take place in Chicago this upcoming September 27th and 28th. But please take a moment right now to block off those dates on your calendar. More information is going to be coming soon on those events. You're not going to want to miss out on that one. So, but Hector Pantazopoulos is the co-founder of and CRO of Source Knowledge. With more than 10 years of experience in the online advertising and marketing industries, Hector co-founded Source Knowledge to help e-commerce and retail brands gain incremental lifts in sales with advertising outside of the walled gardens. He's an advocate of the open web and the benefits it brings to di the digital marketplace. Hector specializes in strategic partnerships and distribution, sales and HR management. Hector, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Ian. I'm very, very happy to be joining.
Excellent. Well, and Hector, the lead generation community, we just came back from LeedsCon. It was a great event out there. We were able to speak about all things on the regulatory and compliance front, a lot of the AI initiatives that are taking place. There's a ton happening in terms of innovation in the lead generation space, a lot of case studies. But one area that we weren't all that that focused on for the live event was the influencer area, which is it always piques the interest of our community. But I think there's a little bit of hesitation there. Can we start with a little bit of and you specialize in some of the in working with micro and nano influencers. Can you talk a little bit about that space, about that kind of up and coming industry?
Absolutely. And thanks for the question, Ian. I can speak very, very succinctly about what we do. So our clients are specifically in the retail oriented space. So anyone who's selling a product online. So the traffic that we're usually looking for is traffic that generates some kind of conversion or sale, not unlike the LeedsCon crew. So when we speak about influencers, we're talking about deal seekers, couponers, folks that are essentially have that audience base where they're just posting and what the greatest deal is that they found on the internet. And the folks that are following them are essentially people that trust their opinion, trust that they're going to do the hunting for them. They're going to find the discount, the offer, that the deal that's out there on the internet, and they'll transact essentially based on a posting on their social media. So it really is very different from what you would expect from a, let's say, a lifestyle influencer. That's it's not that type of influencer that we're talking about. We're speaking to really those, and when we say micro influencers, or that 10,000 followers, between 10,000 and 100,000 followers, or even under, and they essentially are really independent influencers that work on their own, build their content, build their brand, and are very authentic in the way they communicate with their followers. So that's just to define what we when we say influencers, what we're talking about. Because I do feel, and we can have a further discussion about this, I do feel brands are sometimes confused over exactly the type of influencer we're talking about, as opposed to the general idea of social media marketing, which they obviously have agencies to work on.
Absolutely. I think there's a lot of different efforts taking place in the influencer space, and those goals. Yeah, it is very important, obviously, to have a strategy that's going to align with your overall goals. Source Knowledge your organization is an advertising network that helps performance marketers to achieve their ROAS or CPA goals. Having seen the industry's fluctuations since 2009, you're very well suited to kind of navigate this landscape. To start with, we've seen brands kind of vacillate their interest in putting budget behind social influencing campaigns for lead generation efforts. I think the interest is out there for a lot of these brands and a lot of the brands within the LeadsCon community, but there is a lot of hesitation. Can you talk to why that might be the case? What is the state of the industry with influencer marketing today? And can you speak as to why that hesitation might exist for 2023?
I think we need to understand that this is still a relatively new concept. So, in our industry, we move in light speed, at light speed, and that's why we all do this, and we find that very fascinating and interesting. But marketers are they want to invest in something that is established. So, the hesitancy. The immediate hesitancy is essentially this is very new, and I just want to make sure that it's the right traffic mix for my marketing spend. The second part of it is essentially, I think what I described, which is there's a definition of the type of influencer that you're going after. I think in most cases with brands, and I see the same hesitancy, the brands will immediately say, they have their social media agencies, and their social media agency will handle the different social platforms. And they assume that that's covering everything they need to cover. So part of this is a walled garden approach kind of issue where brands are essentially focusing all their marketing spend and their focus and of all performance marketing on the big boys, on the Facebooks and the Googles of the world. Once you start getting out of that and understanding that the audience is fractured and there definitely are other avenues where you can place your ad spend, those are the brands that have a lot of success in this, and those are the brands that understand it. So I feel like it's a matter of time, because as things progress, I do see that there's more and more advertising opportunities that are popping up from the brands outside and platforms outside of the big walled gardens. The audience, like I said, is fractured. People, TikTok didn't exist a couple of years ago. Now it does. Amazon was not running an ad network. Now it is. Netflix was not running pre-roll ads. Now they are. So, the idea of putting all your marketing in Google and washing your hands of it is not a that's not an argument anymore. So I think that I agree there's hesitancy, but let's not lose sight of the fact that this is still relatively new, and the brands are catching up. They do understand that they definitely want to market somewhere where they'll get performance.
Absolutely, Hector. I think, that kind of set it and forget it mentality doesn't, and rolling over budgets year on year without making any kind of change to accommodate for the rapidly changing marketing or ecosystem certainly is a mistake. We're going to get back to I could almost hear the questions from the community, the burning questions around budget and success metrics, and we're going to come back to that. But there is right now we're in a unique moment in time for lead generation for our community. The FCC has recently rolled out some proposed rules here in the U.S. with some quick action behind it last week. With a little bit more definition. That means there's a potential for a significant shift in the ways that marketers are going to be approaching lead generation in the coming months and over the next couple of years. This is going to change the way that marketers and restrict the way that marketers can communicate with consumers. So, can you talk a little bit to how this might open up an opportunity for brands to re-engage with social platforms and influencers?
I think this is an opportunity. I mean, not just in the influencer space, but for any good marketer, any good ad company that's out there operating in what we call the open web outside of the walled gardens, because what's happening now is between the privacy regulations coming down, between the regulations on how you can communicate with your customers and how aggressive you can be, the demise that ever so slowly, but it's going to happen, the demise of the cookie. This is forcing brands down a road where they need to transact with traffic that is authentic, that is following the rules, that is attracting users to their marketing without being overly aggressive in the way they communicate, and that this is what influencers do. Influencers are basically in an existing ecosystem like Instagram or Facebook. So they have that existing ecosystem that and those existing rules that they follow. The traffic that they generate, the people the users that they have, the followers that they have, everyone is transacting and viewing campaigns and clicking on campaigns and swiping up based on content that is being produced by the influencers. So this is not a case where you're aggressively communicating with users. You're not. These are people that have essentially decided to follow you because they want to have these communications. They want to have this information sent to them. So, you know, there's an opportunity there. This is where you need to focus your marketing efforts. You used to be able to send email marketing messages to your user base ad nauseum. You're not going to be able to do that to the same level and degree as you used to be. You won't be able to text all your existing users like you used to. You won't be able to buy data segments the same way you used to be able to buy data segments. So marketers have to be aware of all of this. You know, here's a traffic group that you can work with, you can market with, and not be concerned with how aggressive they're being in terms of how they're getting eyeballs onto your marketing. So, you know, to me, this is a fantastic opportunity. It's another reason why this is going to be a growth area.
Excellent. Well, it is, you know, I do agree. I think there is going to be certainly renewed interest in these efforts. With that, of course, there is inherent risk here with working with any kind of third party, let alone many other, you know, potential to work with many other influencers. What are the risks there with working with establishing those relationships? How do you mitigate those risks and or assess and mitigate those risks of working with the relatively unknowns, let's say?
Yeah. And there is you know, this is something brands have to wrap their heads around, and it might not work for every brand, but the reality is when you're dealing with this size of influencer, essentially it works when you deal with scale. So you're not going to be transacting and having communications with one or two influencers. These are not lifestyle influencers with millions of followers that are going to promote your brand for some freebies. This isn't that type of crew. So if you're going to have an influencer with 10,000 followers, you need to have hundreds of those in order to reach the same scale. So immediately that means less control in terms of just that one-to-one communication. The best way that these influencers work, the best way that I've seen them work, is essentially when you give them free rein to create the content that they wish to create. That would mean in the case of a retail website, go to the website, find the product that you think is something that your users would be interested in, t-shirt, pair of jeans, pair of shoes, whatever it may be. Create a little piece of content where you're posting this great new pair of shoes that's on sale, and allow that to get, you know, distributed through their social media and get picked up. And everyone is going to get that same product on sale promotion. The brands And from the brand perspective, especially those brands that are used to controlling their brand and imagery and not wanting to have this freewheeling kind of like product distribution going on, that those brands won't be able to really work with. So it's not the type of thing where if you're, you know, Chanel or if you're a luxury brand, you have a lot of tight controls in how you want to be marketed and promoted, and that's okay. This isn't the traffic for you. But you know, this type of traffic, if the brand understands that they're just going to be promoting your site and your product, so you don't have to worry about it. They're not going to do anything to defame you. They're just going to sell, they're going to promote your product. If you're okay with that and you're okay with having this distributed over to hundreds of micro influencers, because you will get that reach and scale by doing this, then yeah, that'll work. So it is, you know, I'm a proponent of this type of traffic and these publishers. I think they're great. I do, however, recognize that some brands, you know, the way they run their marketing and promotions, this isn't going to work, but that's fine. It doesn't have to work for everyone.
Absolutely. I don't think, there shouldn't be a one size fits all approach.
No, of course not.
To any marketing effort. So that makes all the sense in the world. The question must be asked. You know, if somebody's this would be a new effort for a lot of the brands and a lot of the folks within the lead gen community. So for somebody that's looking to dip their toe in the water right now with a micro or nano influencer campaign, trying to assess and allocate that budget is going to be a bit of a thorny issue. What do you recommend there with trying to break off a piece of budget? How do you establish that budget? And then a follow-up question that might be tied into this one is, what do the success metrics look like? And so I guess that's all kind of wrapped up into goals for a campaign. But any insights there?
Sure. And this, any marketing must be measured and matched to some kind of performance goal. So there is, when you're running through social media like this and you're running through micro influencers, you do have the ability of tracking every click that goes through these posts that hit your page. And of course, use whatever attribution model you have. If it's your ad system you're working with has one, if Google Analytics is what you're using, fine. But you can measure the sign up, the transaction that has occurred based on this promotion. Some influencers do this on a cost per acquisition basis. Our system is on a cost per click basis. That's up to the platform you're working with and up to the brand. Whatever system, even if, you know, in our case, it's cost per click, but we do measure sales and we do essentially run the campaign based on whether or not we're hitting return goals or CPA goals. There has to be a goal associated that is being tracked, and it's got to be click-based, and this can be done through the influencer network. I can tell you a story of a case where we were tracking the conversions, but it still kind of bit us a little bit. We were dealing with a retailer that was a fairly well-known brand selling clothing and apparel, and it was the start of COVID. And they had a hard CPA target in our system. However, they decided to produce face masks, jean face masks, at the start of COVID and sell them for $5. So this became extremely popular in our influencer network. We sold a ton of volume, but at a $5 price point, they were not happy. So, you know, we had a campaign that did success incredibly well, very successful. We sold tons of volume, but they felt that we overspent because their CPA goal didn't measure up. They based their CPA goal on their average order value on their website, not based on a $5 face mask.
I could,
you know, it happens, right?
I could understand that. That certainly doesn't fall on the agency side. And it could be argued that the branding effort and goodwill effort that comes with that, even though there was a $5 charge, I think probably exceeds what they were actually capturing right then and there in terms of revenue. That yeah that but I but that's a good point. I think you have to think of these things on a sliding scale and set your measures for success for that kind of campaign. Absolutely.
Yep.
Well, thank you once again, Hector. Please do mark your calendars for LeedsCon Connect, our next live event, which is taking place September 27th and 28th out in Chicago. And take time to visit the LeedsCon site to bookmark our digital portal. That's where you could get access to all of our podcasts, like this one, as well as our webinars, our digital panel discussions, our newsletters, and plenty to keep you immersed in the industry until our next live experience in the fall. So until the next episode of the LeedsCon podcast, from the rest of the team here at LeedsCon, please enjoy the rest of your day.